Hey, what's up, everybody? This is John Ricard. This is Camera Work Podcast, episode 42. And my Instagram, if you want to find me, is John Ricard, J-O-H-N-R-I-C-A-R-D. That's one place that you can like leave feedback on the podcast or just kind of see what I'm up to. The podcast appears on iTunes and YouTube. And I let you know that it's on both because if you're listening right now on iTunes, it might be cool to know you can actually get it on YouTube and kind of get a look at us and, you know, like get a little sense of the dynamic of the conversation. And if you're listening on YouTube, it might be good to know you can just put it on your phone and listen to it while you're driving. So it is on both places. And we don't have like a million views. And what that means is if you share the podcast, it really does make a difference. Like, we know that you shared it because I look at every Twitter link, every YouTube comment, every time you mention it, we are conscious of it and it's super appreciated. So I can understand why you don't really feel a need to like rate your movie purchase for Star Wars The Force Awakens like the email requests that you do when you go buy a ticket online. But for a podcast like this, it really does make a difference if you write a review on iTunes or share the link. We notice it, we appreciate it. Okay, so joining me right now is Ray Tamara.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Ray Tamara. I'm a working New York photographer. You can catch me at R Tamara, R-T-A-M-A-R-R-A, on Instagram. Thank you.
Right. And also joining us is Stephen Gomez.
How's it going, guys? You guys can find me on Instagram at underscore S-T-E-P-H-E-N-G-O-M-E-Z.
Right. Tell us again where we find you, Stephen.
Instagram. You can find my name on Instagram is underscore Stephen Gomez. Stephen with a P-H.
Got it. All right. So the topic today, because we talked about this last week with Ray, and we were talking about sources of inspiration, and there was actually a few more that we wanted to talk about. So if you didn't check out 41, check it out, because we talked about sources of inspiration. But today is kind of like part two of that conversation of sources of inspiration. So who wants to kick it off with a source of inspiration, something that just helps you get motivated to get out there and shoot?
I can start. Yeah. I mean, I follow a lot of photographers, and just especially on Instagram. I mean, Instagram's probably my biggest source of inspiration. When I see a lot of photographers posting up new work or posting a lot of their classic work, it makes me want to go out there and try what they're doing and try my own thing and just work with different ideas. Maybe grab somebody I know who's not doing anything and just photograph them, walk around the city and just try different ideas.
I think I get mixed when I'm looking at other photographers' work because a lot of times it makes me uncomfortable because it just makes me address what I'm not doing. Mm. And that makes it like not inspiring. It actually does the opposite to me at times. I find that what I like to do though is I like to look at the work of people who don't shoot things that I should be shooting. Then I don't feel that personal pressure of like, why am I not doing what that person is doing? Because I don't even want to shoot that. I just like looking at the work that they produce. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, I find it inspiring, but I definitely find that 500 pics is a much better source of inspiration for me because the quality of the images there is far beyond what's on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because on anybody's Instagram feed, even if they're a great photographer, they're probably still putting up the occasional picture of themselves at the airport going to a gig or their lunch. You never see that on 500 pics. You just see the portfolio quality work. You can find consistently good work there. So I urge everybody, really take a look at that. You can put it on your phone. It looks just like Instagram. It's just way better pictures than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. Mostly when I look at stuff like that on Instagram or on 500 pics or whatever, it's not that I'm looking at what the work they're shooting. It's mostly that they're working and I'm not, so I should probably go out there and, you know, work, because if they're accomplished photographers and they're still working every day and I'm trying to get my foot in the door, I should probably be working twice as hard as they're working.
Right. Like, and then Ray is funny because Ray started this thing, I don't know, could be as much as 2 years ago now, a year and a half at least. Like every Friday he does a yoga portrait session, every Friday, sometimes a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, but definitely every Friday. And I watched Ray do this for a whole bunch of months. I said, you know, I should do something similar to this. Go do Model Test Monday. I created this hashtag on Instagram, Model Test Monday. And every Monday, I'm going to do a model shoot, get a hair, get makeup, get a model, or just get the model and I'm going to shoot something. That lasted maybe 6 months and it just all fell apart. It was like so much work getting the models and getting the hair person, retouching the images, putting them up. And I ended up bailing on it, but Ray is still going strong with every Friday with yoga.
No, I mean, I've kind of taken a break because what I've found is that the stuff that I've been doing, it's been harder to get people, first of all, and then There's just a whole lot of things. What I've been doing lately is I've been looking at my old work and then understanding this, how to execute those ideas better. Because sometimes I play with the idea and I quickly go on to something else. Or I play with the shadow work and I quickly go on to something else. Where if I look at it again, I was like, this is material that still can be explored. And right. then
like you're going deeper into it.
Yes. And right. It was just a cursory thing, like with projections. It was like, oh yeah, that looks cool, and then move on to something else. But when you think about it, it was like, okay, it's just like what I was talking about before, is like when you cook, there's things that you can do to make it more flattering, to bring out more flavor, or bring out just something else, to explore and dig deeper into that. And lately, like Instagram, I don't really look at Instagram. Sometimes I look at Pinterest and 500 pics to get ideas or to get starting points and how that could work for myself. But at the end of the day, it's just about lately what I've been doing is like when I went to Miami, I just realized that the stuff that I like was super clean. So white or black, it's almost like product photography, furniture photography, and that's what I've been trying to bring to my portraiture, is to how to apply that super super modernistic furniture design aesthetic into portrait.
Right, and then
work.
You want to go deep into that. And I think it's interesting that we're in a time in history where I feel like, and I look at it because my daughter is 10, she doesn't go deep into anything. Like when I was young, we had very few channels and you kind of watched the same TV shows over and over again. You kept watching the same repeats of Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch. And you didn't want to watch these shows, but that's what was on. And you went deep into them where you literally knew lines of the dialogue by heart. Today, that doesn't happen. You have so many different things that you watch it once or twice, you move on to the next show. Like, nobody's going to go back and watch Lost now when they can watch The Walking Dead. There's just, and by the time The Walking Dead ends, there'll be another show just as amazing that you can go and watch. So we don't go deep into things. And for any photographer today, like Ray is saying, you come up with this idea like projector. So we take the LCD projector and we project an image on the wall and put the model in front of that image, or you let the image be projected onto the model and the wall. I mean, you could make an entire career out of that, but like Ray says, you'll do three or four shoots with it. I see him do it, and then I go, oh, let me take the projector out, and I go and I do three or four shoots, and then you drop it and you move to the next thing. It's like, we do often need to go deeper into things rather than hop to the next thing too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I see that a lot too. And with what Ray was saying about, you know, applying a certain look to his portraiture, I think I do a lot of the same things where I look at, you know, I try to focus on the way I'm shooting now. And if it doesn't look the way I want, I have to really think about, you know, what's the aesthetic? What am I drawn to in other photographs that make my jaw drop? And how can I emulate that into a way where I can make it my own and something that, you know, that when I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's how I want my photo to look like.
Right. Now, we were talking originally about like sources of inspiration, and I mentioned to both of you guys that one thing that I thought was kind of inspiring, and I'll tell you why in a second though, was a video that Canon put out, right? So Steven, just explain what the video was.
Well, the video essentially was an actor, and he's shown very clearly he's an actor, and he's portraying, I believe it's 8 different characters, and the photographers don't know this. The photographers are just told that they're photographing a person, and they're given a quick overview of this person's history. In one snippet, he's an ex-con, and another he's an actor, and another he's a billionaire. And the whole purpose is that Canon wants the photographer to bring out the real characteristic of this person, a real portrait that describes the person.
Right, because they've taken these 5 photographers, given them all separate sessions with the same guy, but they said to one photographer, you're shooting a millionaire. And then they say to the next guy, you're shooting a guy who's been in jail for 20 years. And they say to the next one, you're shooting a guy who's a fisherman, whatever. And then you can, and by any chance, you know what the video is called so people can find it?
I forget the name offhand, but I can check it out.
It's on, with the name of the video.
It's on Petapixel. Sure.
Somewhere. Yeah, see if you can find it though. But in any event, the point though is that each person produced dramatically different images. The person that thought this guy was an ex-con produced an image that makes him look scary. The person that thought he was a millionaire produced an image where the guy looked relaxed and confident. The person who thought, you know, like each picture matched exactly the description that the person was told. And I thought it was interesting because it really showed what you should be doing as a photographer, which is...
The video is called Six Photographers Asked to Shoot Portraits of One Man. Right. If you YouTube that, you'll find it.
Say the title one more time.
Six Photographers Asked to Shoot Portraits of One Man.
Right. So, and again, and the interesting thing about it to me is it really showed photographers doing what they are supposed to do. They met this person. They took time to talk to him in advance and get to know who is he and try to create an image that conveys who he is. And one of them thought he was a psychic, and I think it was a female photographer, and she, I think, I can't say that, right? That probably sounds bad when you go like a female photographer,
but yeah, it does.
Yeah, a little yeah.
Sounds bad. Ray yeah. Says it sounds bad. Okay, so we're not going to say that. So a photographer, and she took a picture where the guy was sitting in a chair and next to him was an empty chair in the background, which kind of implies like he's psychic, like he's talking to an unseen person. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was amazing. And I thought it was just cool to see photographers doing what they should do, and it made you remember, like, you do have to talk to the person before you shoot them. It's not just a matter of, like, oh, I'm going to use Rembrandt lighting. Well, why are you using Rembrandt lighting? It's not Rembrandt. Like, what are you doing? You got to know who is this person and try to shoot something that conveys who he is. And I thought that was the most interesting thing about it. And any other comment on that video?
No, I thought it was great. I mean, if just to give a quick rundown of what the actual characters this actor was playing is, he was portraying a fisherman, an alcoholic, a millionaire, a convict, a lifesaver, and a psychic. And in each one of the photographs, right. If you check Petapixel for the article, you'll see that I think at least the photographers did a great job at conveying a right. Lot of those different personalities.
And the only thing I'll say, though, is I think there was a little bit of cheating involved. This is my theory. Just a tiny bit in this sense.
Conspiracy theories.
Not cheating, but conspiracy theory. Not cheating, but here it goes. See, if a guy really was a millionaire, he would have a certain personality, or if yeah. He's a fisherman, or if he's a psychic. Okay. But if you take a guy who's like an actor and you say, I want you to act like a millionaire or act like a psychic, well, he's going to kind of turn it up to 10 and be extra psychic when you talk to him and be extra millionaire and extra fisherman. So that might have made it a little easier to photograph him in that personality.
Possibly.
Because he was consciously going, okay, I'm a fisherman. How would I sit like a fisherman? So I think it made it a little bit easier than if he was an actual fisherman and he just sat the way he sat.
Yeah,
because he wasn't really any of those people. He was playing a role, and when you play a role, you're exaggerating it, like in a movie.
I'm not going to lie, the picture of him as the millionaire does remind me a lot of shoots I've seen for covers of Forbes, where it's the same kind of, you know, guy nicely dressed in a big chair, looking directly into the camera with kind of like a smug smile.
Right. Yeah, because that was amazing the way they did it. So I love that. All right, next source of inspiration that I think was a nice source of inspiration was a book called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield. And he has a book called The War of Art that we've talked about like on every episode of this damn podcast. But this one called Turning Pro, I don't know if it came out before or after the...
After.
It came out after. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what I got from it. But anybody want to summarize a bit of what they got from the book or what they think he was trying to say in the book?
Pretty much from what I've read of it so far, I'm not completely done with it. I'm almost done with it. From what I've taken away is really it's all about habits, and it's about, you know, being the professional you want to be. There's a lot of you know, forming professional habits, forming, you know, ideas and following through and not creating excuses for yourself to not put the work in and do what it takes to become a professional and fulfill your idea of creating your ideal profession, essentially.
Yeah, basically in a nutshell, that was it. It's putting in the time. There's another book called Outliers where you have to put in 10,000 hours to become a master of whatever you choose to do. And there's no shortcuts. You just have to dedicate those 10,000 hours, and it starts at the first hour and it just keeps on going. So if you're thinking, I mean, there's certainly people who can leap and step, and there may be because they're recognized, but they're not necessarily there's just no shortcuts. So right. And that's basically it. You have to be disciplined to get up every morning, even when you don't want to shoot or to shovel or to cook or to drive a bus, and that doesn't it doesn't happen overnight.
Right. And I think one of the things that I got from the book was He talks about like kind of the steps that you go through in the creative process. Like he says, the first step is the aspiration. Like you have this dream or you have this vision of what you want to do. I want to design clothing, or I want to be a photographer, or I want to be a singer. It all starts with the aspiration, and you have that. And then you are immediately met with what he calls resistance. And that is what the War of Art was really about, this thing called resistance, which is basically a label he gives to all of those voices in your head. And my favorite part of what he taught about resistance in the previous book was trying to say, even if the resistance is real, even if you really are too old, or you really don't have enough money to do this career, or don't have enough talent, even if that resistance is real, you should still just dismiss it as resistance. Put it in that category and just throw it away, whether it's real or in your head, because sometimes the resistance is in our head.
Yeah.
So I love that part. That's my favorite part of that particular book. But he says you're met with resistance. That's part of the process. And then the problem is, for most people, right then, at the point they hit the resistance, they fall into addiction. And he says you get addicted to something at that point. That addiction might be checking your Twitter every 5 minutes. That addiction might be making excuses. That addiction might be not doing the work. The addiction could be doing the wrong work. But you get addicted to something, and that is where you lose the path, in the addiction.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a really brilliant point that he makes about addiction.
No, it's true. I mean, I see that a lot with, you know, just everybody these days that's on Instagram. Everybody gets so focused on how many likes pictures get or how many followers you get. I mean, I fall to it too, where I post a picture and, you know, in 10 minutes I'm checking to see how many likes it's got, if it's a good picture. I mean, I know people who will go out of their way and delete photographs if they don't get enough likes because it bothers them. And I always have to remind myself, you know, I'm posting the picture because I think it's good, and if other people think it's good, they'll like it. But I have to remember that, you know, I'm doing the work for me and that I like it, and it needs to be, you know, what's most important is that I like it.
Right. And I think one of the more interesting ways that he classifies the addiction is he says some people get addicted to failure. And Ray and I know photographers where if you end up in a conversation with them, it's just going to be a conversation of how bad the industry is and how good it used to be.
Those kind of people, yeah.
And that's all they want to talk about. And I wrote a quick sentence from the book here. He says, he's talking about as an artist, he says, when we are addicted to failure, we enjoy it. Each time we fail, we are secretly relieved. There is a glamour to failure that has been in the mind for centuries of starving poets and romantic suicides and other self-defined doomed souls. This glamour invites failure and turns it into success, or inverts failure and turns it into success. Kind of like that whole grunge thing where everybody was all depressed and mad. You know, Pearl Jam, they win like the MTV award, and they're like, well, we don't have to make any more videos. Like, we already won the award. We're done with music videos. That you're addicted to failure, that you'd rather complain about how bad things are than make them better.
Yeah.
But the key is that you have this addiction. So I think this book talks a lot about trying. It's not the only point, but it's my favorite part about it, but just trying to figure out, like, what are you addicted to that is stopping you from doing your best work?
Mm-hmm.
What is that thing? Is it the internet? Is it complaining? Is it being lazy or whatever? And I think for me personally, my addiction is probably a little bit of what Ray touched upon a little earlier. It's this idea of like jumping from thing to thing to thing.
Yeah.
Saying to myself, I'm going to focus primarily on beauty portraits, or I'm going to focus on fashion, or I'm going to focus on hip hop artists, or I'm going to focus on, you know, a documentary or street photography. That kind of hopping around, I'm addicted to finding a new road that I want to take rather than staying committed to one particular road. I think that's my personal addiction.
Yeah, I mean, we all have it. I mean, it was funny when I was reading the book, how he drew parallels, like you said, to the addiction. I found that part very interesting. That he also said a lot, I believe he said a lot of artists tend to have a lot of, you know, they tend to be a more addictive type of personality, and they get to be drawn into it. And I don't think that's necessarily bad, because with me,
if you're addicted to the right thing, because the addiction can be fine. Yeah. Just be addicted to getting up every day and working, and stop being addicted to
tunneling your focus into something so heavily that you can't not do it. And it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if anybody, if you guys have seen the W. Eugene Smith documentary.
No.
And how crazy he was. Like, he was an amazing photographer, but he was just so addicted to photography that he just couldn't stop. Even when he was broke and poor and living in the flower district and had no money, he would beg people for money so he could buy film and photograph out of a window, because that's all he wanted to do, was just photograph.
Right,
and
that's what you want to be addicted to.
That's what you want to be addicted to.
Be addicted to,
yeah.
to the craft, yeah. you know. All right, I have one more source of addiction, and this one is funny because we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, and Ray is always just like, oh, like, this is like so, like, I don't know, I guess I'm not connected to photography or something. I don't know. Ray's got like a slightly different take on it. But there is a video that I love. I've watched it a million times and I find it super informative, okay? So on YouTube, this video is called Stop Waiting to Be the Man! Exclamation point. The truth about why you should feel entitled right now. So one more time. It's called Stop Waiting to Be the Man! The truth about why you should stop waiting. Sorry, why you should feel entitled right now. So have you watched that recently, Ray? Like, say, in the last week or whatever?
No.
Okay. Steven, you've seen it recently.
I saw it twice last night.
You saw it twice. Excellent. So just give me a little bit of an idea. First of all, who is the guy giving it, or where is this coming from, this video?
Well, I don't know the guy very well. This is the first time I've seen this video. But the guy is clearly a pickup artist of some kind, and he's giving a seminar to a bunch of other guys, and he's explaining to them why they're how they can change their confidence levels in a way, and their mental attitude and their mental approach to speaking to women, so that they can appeal more to women, and basically giving off a sense of how it means to be confident and be strong and have everything aligned in your mind and your approach, so that it seems very genuine.
Excellent. That's a very good summary, right? So one of the things he talks about is this concept of congruence.
Yeah.
And what he talks about is having your words, your thoughts, and your deeds aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be fascinating, because I think more times than we realize, it's really not aligned. Because what you're thinking, your self-image, is not the same as someone else's self-image. For example, let's suppose Steven and I trained the same jiu-jitsu place, yeah. right? So think about it. You go to class and it's promotion night and you get promoted. So you go from blue belt to purple belt, and purple is a pretty advanced belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So the belt is saying you are at a certain advanced level in jiu-jitsu. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. On the night when you get that belt, what are you feeling when you get that belt?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. Why?
Because now you have no choice but to elevate, make sure that you are constantly at that level that everybody says you're supposed to be at.
Correct. That everybody says.
Yeah.
But mentally, you don't feel like a purple belt.
Never.
Because most of the time, if they had said to you, like if the system worked differently, where they said, hey, all the belts are just going to be laid out, and when you come to class, whatever belt, like when you know you're a purple belt, put on a purple belt, you probably wouldn't have put it on that night.
No.
Because at the point that the instructor says you're a purple belt, you are not feeling like a purple belt.
No.
Okay. So at that moment, you have a lack of congruence, because mm-hmm. your actions are communicating a certain thing. You're putting on a purple belt. So your action says you're a purple belt, but your thoughts are not saying that you are a purple belt. Your thoughts are saying I'm a blue belt, and everything is out of whack. So these guys are talking really just about picking up women, and they're just yeah. trying to say, when your thoughts, words, and deeds are not aligned, then it's just not going to work. The girl may not know why, but as you go to talk to her with that purple belt on, somehow she just goes, he's not a purple belt. She tunes you out. She doesn't want to be bothered with you. In the context of photography, I think it's the same thing, where it's like somehow you get hired for a job, but then in your mind you're like, oh my God, suppose I screwed up. Am I ready for this? Can I really handle this level? And there's that lack of congruence.
Yeah.
Someone has said you're prepared for this level, and then you secretly feel like you're not at that level. And I think understanding, again, this alignment of words, thoughts, and deeds is crucial
yeah.
to having this congruence. By the way, he gave a reason as to why people sometimes have the lack of congruence.
Yeah, he mentioned because a lot of times we look at ourselves and we don't really, we don't like what we see. And he made a reference to like people who are, you know, they don't have a good job, or they're working their career, or they're not in
right.
shape. And they say, once I do all these other things, then I'll feel like I'm entitled to what I want.
Right.
And he says be that way. Just
right.
feel entitled.
So from the photographer's standpoint, you know, you feel like, well, if I had the right camera, then I would be able to walk in that room and hold myself a certain way.
Yeah.
If I can
relate to that, yeah.
Like, and he, right, we can all relate to that. And like he says, you feel like if I were a millionaire, then I would be confident enough to be in that room with these other people or whatever. excuse me, but he makes the point that that's the wrong way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You should feel entitled now because you're always going to have another level.
There's always going to be somebody who has something more.
Correct. So if you are a millionaire, you're not going to be hanging out with guys who make $50,000 a year. You're going to be in a room with multimillionaires, yeah, with billionaires, and you're still going to feel inadequate. So you can, you're going to have $1 million in the bank, and you're going to walk in the room with the thoughts of a guy who is still on the lower level.
Mm-hmm.
And things are still not going to work for you, yeah, because, again, you're lacking congruence because there's always another level. Yeah. So, again, with the jiu-jitsu, you think, man, if I could just get that purple belt. But you know when you get the purple belt, there are brown belts and black belts there, and you still feel inadequate. And you get the brown belt, there's black belts, whatever. But he's trying to say you need to just feel entitled right now. Whatever level you are on, you should feel like you are the man now.
Yeah.
And put that across with your words, your thoughts, your deeds.
Yeah.
And then people will respond to you. But as long as you have like accomplishments, but mentally you feel like you're not there, it's just not going to work for you. It's no one's going to respond to you.
It's probably just having the confidence and knowing that you can do it. And unfortunately, that seems to be predicated on a lot of different things for different people. They think, you know, I need this, I need that. Really, if you have the confidence to do it and just try it, most of the times I find you can get it done.
Right. And I think occasionally, are you going to say something, Ray? Right. And occasionally I think you do see people who do that where like they don't have the accomplishments, but mentally they act like they do already. And again, it falls right in line with the secret. This is why I like all of these things that we're talking about, because the secret tries to say, act like you have it already.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it to come. Just start behaving as if you have the car you like, as if you have the right clients, and treat them like they're the best clients in the world. Photograph them like they're the best clients in the world. And the pickup artist video is saying the same thing. He's trying to say, stop thinking when I get $1 million, I'm going to behave differently, or when I get myself in shape, then I'm going to go meet the right girl or whatever. When I get the right camera, then I'm going to do the right work. When I get a studio, then I'm going to take better pictures. When I get the better lighting, no, do it all now as if you have it already. That's the message that I get from The Secret, and that's the message that I get from this pickup artist video, which again is called Stop Waiting to Be the Man. The truth about why you should feel entitled right now. It is one of my favorite videos, and I've watched it a bunch of times, and I always just get a little more from it on these ideas of congruence and the idea of feeling entitled now. All right, so those are some of the inspirational things that work for me and work for these guys and even Ray at times, I think, yeah, some of these things.
I mean, besides that, I mean, we're photographers, we're visual artists. So you should also be, this is all really ambiguous, metaphysical stuff that you have to, it's like the process, but also movies. Like what I do is I look at, besides pictures, I look at movies, and the things that I was looking, I was binge watching Daredevil. And if you watch the actual show, you'll see stylistically what they're doing. And if you're a visual artist, you'll recognize that. And what I've been doing is just looking at that, seeing how they light the set and how I can apply that. It's a really dark show. They use a lot of gel lighting. So they're, and they do a lot of tight close-ups. So you're seeing a little, like besides a black background, you're seeing shades of red on one side, yellow and green on the other side. And these are all in bokeh. And you're like, oh, wow, that's something that I can do. And I can apply to my photography and see if it works. So anything that, it doesn't have to be books, it can be anything that inspires you, gets you thinking, and how you can apply that to what you're passionate about.
Right, that's cool. I haven't seen Daredevil yet, but
it's a great show.
I like Sin City is one of those that I look at and I go, man, I should shoot something like that, because it's all black and white and very dramatic with the shadows. And then I go back to the studio and I take the biggest lights I get with no shadow and I shoot it just like I did yesterday. That's me. I don't know. All right, people, thank you for listening. Be sure to, you know, make some tweet comments and share the podcast, please. Help us grow this thing. We love doing it, but we also like to know that someone's actually listening. All right. You can find me on Instagram at John Ricard, JohnRicard. Ray, where do we find you?
You can find me at RTAMARRA at R Tamara. Thank you.
Steven.
You can find me on Instagram at _Steven Gomez, and that's Steven with a PH.